this meeting to order. This is the Bainbridge Island Civil Service Commission, our regular meeting for January 10th, 2013. And we can just jump right into, well, in terms of attendance here, we have four of our commissioners because we have one open seat on the commission we hope to fill soon. And we have our public safety director, is that what your official title is? And Kate, of course, our secretary. So let's start. First go around, disclosure of conflicts of interest or any in between meeting communications that are worthy of reporting. Rob?
No conflicts of interest. The only in between meeting communication I received or had during the break, I received a memo from Kim Hendrickson latter part of just before Christmas, and it was kind of their year-end summary and after action of their, it was a community policing meeting that they had on mental health in the community, and this was kind of their summary of their findings from that meeting, and they wanted to share it with us. I think you got it. Did you send it on to the rest of the slide?
I did not, okay. No. I got it, but okay. I didn't know what
that was. I perused it, I found it interesting, and I will certainly consider in the future as those topics reach us, and I can certainly share that with the rest of the commission and Kate as well.
Okay.
Nothing for me to report?
William? No conflicts or communications I need to report.
And I have no conflicts and other than Kate and I working on the agenda and sort of looking forward to those of the communications. Moving forward, the third item on our agenda is to appoint or elect, but our new chair and our new vice chair. At our previous meeting, Rob Killian generously offered to be the new chair of the committee. I've done it for a year now. This is my last meeting. I think he's going to let me continue to hold the gavel for the rest of this meeting, though there is no gavel, but I will turn it over to him after this meeting.
I see a gavel. Doesn't everybody?
And William, I believe you agreed to step up as vice?
I agreed to do that. Yes.
Okay. I don't know, I presume a formal motion probably wouldn't be a bad thing, so if any, got two nominations on the floor.
So moved.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, well then, as of the end of this meeting, Rob and William will take over, and I will become one of the masses.
Just for Robert's rule of purposes, did I hear you second that motion?
Okay, we'll second the motion, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. Do all motions need to be seconded? Is that what Robert's
doing? I believe so, yes.
All right, I'm not an expert.
Neither am I.
Okay. We had the December 13th minutes that I believe were previously distributed.
I hope so.
I got it.
Yep.
No, I have a correction.
Okay.
I think. In the report that you gave us, Larry, you reported it was more than criminal activity. It was police investigation.
Yeah, because there were traffic collisions.
It was traffic stuff, mm-hmm. and we're not really in, I mean, it was broader in scope, and so
right.
I wasn't comfortable with the label criminal with that broad. So.
That's a good catch, thank you.
That was my only.
Public safety-related activity?
Sure.
Would that be
sure.
Okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll make that amendment, thank
Any
you.
Any other corrections or comments? Subject to that amended change, do I have a motion for approval?
I move to approve minutes as
minute.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Okay, great. We have no members of the public here today, so we don't have any public comment. And number six on our agenda is a report by the Chief of Police Office.
Okay.
Larry standing in for Chief of Police.
Okay. Did they get a copy?
I did. I forwarded that.
I apologize for some codes or whatever. If you don't understand what they are, but we can explain it. But what we're doing here is basically doing this monthly now. And we have all our statistics are on our webpage, which you already know, and events that are coming up the police department is going to participate in. But the goal is to have the officers turn in after action reports when they get involved in either a community outreach program, a good arrest, mm-hmm. those type of things, and they go to me and to Barb, and then she keeps a running list, and then we do the report, and hopefully at the end of the year it'll be easier to do your annual report off mm-hmm. of this, and mm-hmm. And then it also gives the city manager an idea of some of the things that are going on in the police department. The reason we report SWAT incidents is because we have two officers assigned to the SWAT. We just completed our LEMAP, which is a WASPIC review of our police department, which is a group of police executives from other agencies. They came in yesterday and actually spent all day yesterday reviewing our policies and procedures, going into our evidence area, going into our records area, and checking all these different areas out, interviewing lieutenants, the officers, civilian staff, and then I met with them this afternoon, kind of had an exit interview. I think it's going to be a very interesting process. There's going to be a lot of things that we're going to have to do probably in the department to make things even more efficient and better. And that's the goal of it. We don't want to hear just all the good things. We want to hear the problems. And our goal is to fix those, or at least by the time the new police chief comes on board, that we have a list of, you know, the checklist that he can go through and see what has been done. As far as specialty assignments, kind of give you an overview. We do have some specialty assignments in the department, and what they are like, if we don't have full-time detectives, you know, where a person promotes to detective and he's there forever. We have rotate. We have time limits on positions like detectives and canine. Usually it's the life of the dog, canine. And then, you know, we have our marine folks that run the boat. And these people all get specialty pay. They're paid a little extra a month to be in those programs. And the way...
Can I ask you about that? Is that... does the collective bargaining agreement with the guild address those issues?
Yeah. Yes. In fact, I believe it's... And I have to look, but I'm sure... I think these are all listed in the guild contract. And we kind of agreed on times, you know, like a detective is 3 years. And so when that 3 years is up, we put it out. And if someone else is interested in the department, then they can apply for it. And then the other person... out, go back to patrol, lose the specialty pay, and someone else would get it, or the person that we selected. And we do that, you know, with our canine, with our SWAT. We do it with, you know, we don't do it with our FTOs, because even though they're a specialty, they're the people who train the new officers, and they're trained, and they stay in those positions. But it's a program where a police officer has an opportunity to do something other than to drive a police car and make traffic stops. You know, it's something
right.
else to look forward to. And, you know, we're hoping down the road that we'll be able to get an SRO program going, you know, a school resource officer, which I think would be really good for this community. And that would just fall right into that arena also. And if you have any questions.
I have a question. This kind of came up last time with the, there's a reference to a SWAT call out for the meth lab and another SWAT call out for a drug house. This is beyond Bay Bridge Island, right?
Certainly. They're out. These were actually out of Bremerton. But it's, you know, people say, well, you know, it's kind of like a canine, you know. They say, well, you only used your dog once on Bainbridge Island this month, but you used it 5 times over Bremerton. Mm-hmm. Chased the bad guys through the woods and stuff. Those burgers are the same, but comparing. So it's, and it's the same way with these drug labs. And that's why we participate in, because these are the same people that said they come over here and try to sell their drugs. Yeah. And
we wouldn't be immune to having
But no, I do get people ask me that. They say, why do you have on the SWAT team? I say, well, because number one, you know, the unit does an outstanding job in taking down these facilities where you don't have to just. I remember the old days when I was patrolling, you knocked on the door in uniform, and that's how you did it. But now they've got special teams for that. And if you get into a lab thing, then you've got to call in your lab to take it down. You can't do it, you know, because of
the dangerous.
And there's reciprocity, too, isn't there?
Pardon?
There's reciprocity. Other police departments also help Bainbridge if needed.
Oh, certainly,
it's a two-way street.
We have a mutual aid agreement with most of the cities and the county here, and if we had a major event standoff here, I think, you know, when we had the shooting, obviously, there, quite a few agencies mm-hmm. came over, helped on that, and I think they may have had the SWAT team over here, I don't know. But it would be the same thing. Mm-hmm. If we had a bank robbery with hostages, they would have the SWAT team negotiators over here.
My question is just the equitability or the equal availability to all officers for those specialty assignments. Can you just walk us through the open application and how they make the application and how they're compared to make sure that all officers are afforded the same opportunity for those specialty assignments?
What we normally do is put out an email to everybody, you know, and, you know, I would hope, you know, I can't sit here and say that if somebody was gone that day or on vacation for a little bit, maybe I'll get that just immediately. And normally, if you're interested in the position, then you submit a letter of interest, and it usually goes to the lieutenants. They review those, and they review those and make a selection. They actually interview the officers, too. But
all of the lieutenants will interview all of the candidates, or
they do it as a group.
The officer's lieutenant will interview him or her for that specific.
No, it's a panel. And then they submit the name to me, and I can either say yay or nay, you know. We had two people, let's see, we had one person put in, two people put in for it, the person that was in it and one other officer. So it's pretty simple. But it is, it's a fair process. Obviously, if you have somebody that hasn't had an opportunity and somebody that has that put in for it, I think there should be more weight given to the person that hasn't had the opportunity. And it's a good thing, too, because there's training you get in there, and you can take that out on the street with you when you leave detectives. And, you know, if you go to a burglary scene, you know how to do the crime scene and, you know, things like that.
And is that rotation process codified in your general orders or SOP somewhere as far as how long they stay in there, and that the preference would be to give to an officer that hadn't been in one of those positions previously?
We don't say that part. Do have the times. It's, you know, 3 years for detective. Canine is usually the life of the dog. And the SWAT team, I believe, was 4 years. And, and then we don't participate in the interlocal drug unit like a lot of agencies do. So those are the key ones that we have.
I was surprised to hear that the detective position rotated.
Oh, yeah.
Most of my knowledge about police comes from watching bad TV shows.
No.
I thought detective was literally a promotion up from officer, but you make it sound more like sort of a rotating kind of special assignment.
It is here a special assignment. There are agencies like Seattle PD, I'm sure they have, or King County, Pierce County, maybe even Bremerton, I don't know, but even at Lacey, I had 7 detectives, and it was a 5-year assignment, and they rotated, and then the agencies around me did the same. Olympia PD does that, Tumwater does it, I think Thurston County does it too.
So it's not necessarily a superior, seen as a superior position to an officer himself.
Well, it could be in charge of a crime scene, or, you know.
There could be level.
Yeah.
And is that a regional thing? Because it's my prior department, it's been a promotional position that you take a written test and you qualify and highest scores on the exams, and they'll publish a bibliography ahead of time, study these 7 books and manuals. Is that just by virtue of our size and the area that it's a rotational on the same level as an officer and not a promotional position?
I think I look at it this way, it gives everybody an opportunity to get specialized training, which is pretty important. And we're small, and the police officers don't have a lot of opportunities on this department other than, you know, the last promotion we had, I think, was, 2004?
Yeah.
Or something like that. So, and then, if we could get an SRO in here, that's just another opportunity. But, you know, if we were a much larger department, you know, and I think even the State Patrol, on their special units, they assign people that are special units. It's more common to do it the way we do it in the state, to my knowledge. then even in Alaska, when I was up there, it was the same thing in this period of time. But you put somebody in there permanently, and, you know, people can be in one position for a long time and become stagnant, too. And sometimes it rejuvenates the position. You know, you get somebody new, a hard charger in there, you know.
I guess my, the just so long as that they, because that whole process of the availability of putting officers into specialty assignments is all within the department, that there's not another outside set of eyes, that there could be a potential, however, that doesn't seem to be, that those opportunities may be afforded to certain individuals on a preferential basis. And we just have to ensure that that's not being done,
right,
and it's being done equitably, and everybody has an equal opportunity to apply for those positions and compete on par for those, and whether or not they want to be a canine officer, a marine officer, or on SWAT, they're all the same equal opportunity.
Well, I think they are, what I've seen just in the short time I've been.
And then the only other question, kind of along the same lines, are the interim staffing positions. The same kind of thing for later down the road, if, say, an officer is filling a lieutenant's position because of vacation personnel or something, and is that done solely on a seniority basis, or is it a rotational basis? And
well,
they might go for lieutenants acting as an interim chief while they're back.
You could actually, what I do when I'm gone, I usually, well, now I didn't have to, but now I have to pick a lieutenant to be in charge. And I've used two different lieutenants. You know, I used Chris Jensen, and I've used, but it's a short period of time, so that obviously the pay doesn't fall
right
into place. It would after a period of time. And Denise Quintoli. And, you know, it's kind of hard to put the guy on graveyard in charge, you know. So
right.
you try to spread it around a little bit so they get the training. It's something they can put on their resume, too.
And that's my thinking,
yeah,
too, that all of those
yeah.
candidates
be fair.
At least have the opportunity to do the same thing, and it's not falling on the same person
all the
time.
Well,
yeah.
if you had a commander's position, then it would. Now, I think my goal is to have an administrative lieutenant here probably very near future. And there is I think there's 150 dollars a month or something. There's
amount
of money.
Specialty assignment also.
Yeah.
But you're not gonna hire somebody to be the commander? You're not gonna promote somebody to commander?
At this time, no.
You're gonna add a fifth, or is it third or a fourth or a fifth?
We have four.
You have four. So you're gonna add a fifth one from the, not necessarily. Oh.
Not add, but
you're just gonna take one of
right.
the existing ones and give them some additional duties and some additional pay.
And rotate it. Once he actually,
rotate.
I'm set up where it's this. The first appointment will be good through until the new police chief comes on board. I think he or she should have an opportunity. You can leave the person in there for a while and make up his mind. So I don't want to buy him in, and they know that.
So none of these things constitute promotions per se.
No.
And so none of them fall within our jurisdiction.
No.
Unless there's some general activity that somehow violates the general principles of meritorious.
And you know, it's, a lot of these are, of course, under the scrutiny of the police union, too, because they're totally
yeah.
involved.
Yeah, and everything is.
So if there was something that the administration was doing, I'm sure we'd all hear about it.
You know, one of the things, Kate, that didn't show up, we're going to be later talking about our calendar for next year.
Oh, yeah.
There was a question last time, I believe, about if there is a promotion
mm-hmm.
opportunity, and maybe it's a moot point because it just doesn't happen that often. What is our role?
Yeah.
And what are the standards we apply, and how do we go about not slowing the process down but doing
yeah.
our job?
Larry and I were talking about that earlier. Rule 8.9, promotional examination, says vacancies in the higher positions of a class shall be filled by promotion whenever practicable in the judgment of the commission. So we were talking about, say, for an example, we have a vacancy in the lieutenant classification. Does the commission determine whether that's filled by an internal applicant or whether or not we externally advertise that position, which
and,
I think was done last time?
And what standards and tests would apply to it? I mean,
right.
it's outside the field of what we normally do.
Right.
So, you know, we don't need to add things on, but that maybe you could add that to the on-deck circle.
It'd be nice to figure that out before we need to know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I will do that.
And, you know, there is potential down the road some of these lieutenants are retired, too.
Yeah, sure.
And,
sure.
You know.
Then the issue will be before you, before us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great, Larry. Thank you. Any other questions for Larry?
Thanks, Larry.
Are you, so the general statistics on the crime statistics in addition to this community report, they're all up on the website?
I'm going to give you a crime statistic report. I didn't have time to put something together, but it is on our webpage. If you go on the city's webpage, the police departments, the police, and then down, and you'll hit stats and just get that up. Now, you have to understand, you know, we don't get them up as quick as we'd like to because, you know, they don't get posted.
Yeah.
And we have to wait till it's like, we'll probably get December's up around the middle of this month. And then, you know, and so.
Do we have a map of the island that shows where the crime scenes are like other communities do?
You have a PIN map? You know, I think we do. And, but let me look into that and get back to you. Okay.
Those are really interesting.
They are.
Okay. Thank you very much. Kate, you have a report?
Yes, I don't have much under this item other than to let you know that I plan to start reviewing the position questionnaires that the officers completed, and you'll see when we get to the calendar later that I'm anticipating bringing you a draft job description to the next meeting, or obviously I'll distribute it beforehand, but we can discuss it at the next meeting. And then after that, we will be in communication with the Guild about any changes that we make. So.
Okay.
That's it.
Why don't we talk about that in more detail when we get to the calendar?
Sure.
Because I don't quite, in my own mind, I don't understand the steps yet to come.
Okay. Well, I can tell you now.
Okay.
Yeah. So the questionnaires are completed. If I have any questions, I plan on talking to the people who completed them, talking to the lieutenant, talking to Larry. And then looking at our current job description, I'll look at some other agencies' job descriptions. I'll, you know, figure out what needs to be added, what maybe can come out, and then I'll come back to you with a draft. And then we can tinker around with that, and then we will forward that to the Guild for their review, see if they have any comments.
Okay. And is this ultimately going to cycle back with some, wasn't this going to feed back into the interview process in some way? I mean, I'm not quite sure how that connection
so
happens.
Eventually, once we have an updated job description, our plan would then use that to help create a position profile. The ideal candidate will have X, Y, and Z.
Okay.
So the kind of detail that you can use to advertise and recruit, but that wouldn't necessarily belong in a job description.
I think it would be a really good idea for us to create a subcommittee that would have this assignment. I recall when we first initiated this that there was an individual from California, I believe, that was very wonderful sharing information, and I think that this is important enough and big enough that we want it to be a robust discussion with other community members and not take the time in our more formal meetings.
Right.
So,
that's a good idea.
Well, and Rob, you did a lot of.
And yeah, I think mine was the first pass.
Yeah,
and then after we're able to get a better position profile, that you're able to kind of quantify all the specific questions and criteria you're looking for, and how you grade each individual question that we ask, and how it specifically applies to a portion of that job description.
So the three pieces are interlinked very closely.
Right. It validates that, and that you can actually tie it back to the specific line items.
Okay.
So, okay, again, that can go on here because then, well, we'll talk about that when we get to the calendar. Anyway, so that's all I really have under my report because the other items, I think, are going to speak to the other things I've been working on.
Okay. Well, we'll come to that in the calendar. I'll come back to that. Okay. Largest item for discussion today is the written exam for police officer, the new exam that PSD has now promulgated. We briefly talked about a couple meetings ago about the transition process and the fact that people who are ranked for results of the written exam that dated the November cutoff can't be compared one-to-one with the people who come on the list for the new exam.
Right.
So, Kate, I don't know if you to start, talk about way we, a couple of different ways we could approach that. I think we tentatively know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think that's true also. I went back to my notes to refresh. I brought a bunch of copies, too, from that meeting for anybody. I know, Linda, you were there, Bruce, you were there, but you guys, I'll pass these out. But it's basically just an overview from PST as to why they are coming up with the new exam. And as you just said, the scores are not interchangeable or compatible. There's different scores, different results. For example, before we used to just get a number in terms of this person scored X, but now we're going to be getting something that looks like this with all sorts of feedback analysis. The new list will be created. I looked today, and as of today, we have five entry-level applicants who've taken the new test, and no laterals. So, you know, it's going to take time to build up that new list, clearly, because we still have, I think, 93 people on the previous one who have taken the previous test whose scores are still valid that we could interview.
And remind me, how long do their scores remain valid?
A year?
We just changed that in our rules, isn't it, 6 months?
That's the certification to the department. I think it's a year.
Oh, yeah.
It's a year, right?
Yes.
Right, so whatever that 96 number is going to...
Yeah, 15 months.
Mm-hmm. A little down.
Yeah, so we're not going to wait 15 months, for example, for the people tested in November necessarily. And I get the impression that that's not expected and that other agencies are not doing that either. But we need to... What we really need to concentrate on is our eligibility list. And we need to exhaust all the names on those lists before we start. So there are a couple things. Whether or not it makes sense to interview any of those 90-something people, it doesn't really to me, because then you're just adding more people to that list that you're trying to get rid of or use up. So all of those people who have tested previously have been communicated with from PST, have been told about this new test, have been given, you know, a certain amount of time at a major discount. They can test for a number of agencies at a much reduced test rate. They know that their test score is probably not going to be used.
So we're telling 93 people who want to come here that this test that they thought was a grueling experience was an oops, we've got to do it again.
We're telling them that, or PST is telling them that?
PST's already told them.
We're making the decision right now, maybe. That we're not going to take any more from that list. So that's 90 folks who actually went ahead and put us at that. I'm not sure that's a wrong decision. I'm just trying to put it in a little stark reality.
It's there. True. PST has already told them that they can take the new test regardless of their previous test date. If they tested it in the last 6 months, they don't have to do the physical agility test again. They can spend $45 and test for six departments instead of two. We're trying to make it
a better transition.
Yeah. Kind of reduce the pain for them. And the other thing
when would we be kind of, we can make some decisions today,
right.
But I mean, when would we be saying, okay, we need to schedule some more interviews,
right.
We're going to pick these people either from list A or from
right.
B.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look at those two and go, gosh, apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm. You can...
When are we going to be asked to make that selection?
We have, I believe... should have brought it with me. I think we have maybe 10 people on the entry-level eligibility list right now. So if we're not going to be hiring anybody from that list, then we're not going to exhaust those names in terms of the background investigation. We're going to have to wait for that to expire.
Right. Now, well, maybe we're back to Larry. I know you've got two vacancies and that you've got three now. Okay. And you're engaged in background checking on how many people at this point?
Two off the lateral list, the last two.
Oh, okay, two off the lateral list. And we've got six, you're saying, Kate, on, do you think, or 10? Or
yes, I'm sorry,
large number.
Yeah.
So.
I can look.
And, of course, they all tested under the old system.
Right.
That's okay. They're on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And so long as their scores remain.
I'm not convinced.
Yeah, no,
I'm not sure I understand why we can't put new testers on our eligibility list with old testers, because
Because they're going to have different scores. The written scores.
But once we give the names, we make the we come up with a priority so that we know what names to pass up. Once we pass them up, you're not Larry, you're not obligated to pick off the top. You can pick among the people that are on the eligibility list.
No, he can only pick the top three.
You're missing a step. So we test them,
right,
and we pick them if their scores are high enough.
Right.
They get onto the eligibility list, so
right,
you might have 10. And then from that list, once they're on that list, we say, all right, Larry, you get three more.
The 10 thing, the 10 list is still at our level.
Right.
Yeah,
those aren't his
yet. We take the top.
Right. Mm-hmm. So until that list gets winnowed down, and we like to keep it kind of full,
right?
And that's why we schedule the testing and the interview. But it's not until it gets lower than we're going to be facing this, okay, we need to schedule some more interviews to fill the list, right?
So
we don't have to make a decision right now. I don't.
No, we don't. It's just a talk about.
I'm sorry. I'm dense. I'm tired. I must be confused.
Right.
Are we saying that we don't want to serve, we don't want to certify up to the department anyone of those 10 that are on the list?
No, we're not. No,
no, we're not saying
that at all. But let's start there. There's 10 already there, and they took the old test, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They did great.
And so Larry decided.
We certified them. I think we've interviewed them.
Right.
They're on the list. Right. We're not touching them. They're not. They're there for as long as their tests are.
So that's a pool that we can send up to the police department if you decide that you want more than two. And I think if you've got three, maybe you should be.
Well, we haven't got authorization for the third position. That was the commander's position.
I see. So that's still a matter of budgeting
right.
issue.
Okay. Yeah. And but our goal, if you know, we're looking at two out of state folks. One looks really good. The other. We'd like to pull, and I've talked to Kate about this, probably the end of this next.
Okay.
If one of these folks don't make it.
So I guess then the question is, if there's roughly 10 on that list or something like 10 on that list, how long will that serve our purposes if you're aggressively trying to fill positions? And, you know, it sounds like 10 is a lot of people. It's a lot of background checking.
I know 10 might be wrong, but still. But then some of those were people that we interviewed in March. So they're going to be, their eligibility is going to expire.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry I didn't bring that with me. I think I was more thinking like this is kind of big picture. Sort of these are our options. We don't have to decide right now.
Yeah.
And I also sent a message out today to the listserv through PSC to other secretaries. Find out what other people are doing.
Yeah.
They suggested, you know, we might have to have a rule to address this. There were a couple things that PSC suggested that the commissions will need to consider. So the main thing is how we're going to communicate this to the candidates.
Yeah.
I thought we had discussed, because Bruce and I were at that meeting, and it seemed real logical to me at the time what to do. And I believe that there was like a bright line, that there was a date that we would pick and we would tell everybody about it. You know, April or May is coming to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Out there giving people a heads up that this is when we're moving to the new system. And that way everybody has enough notice if they want to take the new test, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sounds very familiar. I mean, that was definitely something that I remember. Here's an example. Tuck Willis says they're going to wait until their lists expire, which technically the lists don't expire. The names on the board expire.
Right.
So they're going to wait until the names expire, which before scheduling oral boards and recruiting applicants that have taken the new test,
mm-hmm.
and their lists expire in June. And then Coopville says they will continue to process applicants under the old exam through the end of February or until the applicant pool is exhausted, whichever comes first. Then we will begin processing only the new people. Beginning March 1st, any outstanding eligibility list placed on the old score will be null and void. Candidates that have been certified for consideration shall be grandfathered in, basically, and written notice will be sent out. So there are a few options. To me, the main question is, does it make sense to interview any of those people to add to the list if what we're trying to do is get those names off the list.
Right.
Well, I mean, I think were it not for the new test, the reason we would want to interview them is because they scored really high on the test that they took.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say they might have done just as well on the new test. You know, so it could be a good applicant.
Right.
And we don't want to lose them because we've created an arbitrary line about when a new test is going to be our benchmark. I think what we ought to do is those folks that are on the 10 or however many there are, that we kind of grandfather them under their excellent scores from the old test,
mm-hmm.
for as long as their scores are good. And then we talk about only adding to the eligibility list from people who've taken the new test.
Okay, but if we're talking, do you have any sense as to how young some of those names are? I mean, is our...
No, they're from November, but I don't think they scored high.
But there are people there who might not be falling off the list until the fall or later this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't want to interview people, new test takers, if we know we're not going to be sending them up to the department until the last person falls off the old list.
Well, I think that
we're sitting around for 6 months after they were interviewed. You know?
Yeah, here's the thing. I think what happened is that you had this existing list, and people are falling off, but some aren't until November. And then you have some new test takers coming in, and we're going to have to figure out what number. I guess we have a number in the rule. They got to pass 70% or whatever
right.
it is, right?
On the risk. Yes.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. And so if they do, they qualify to be put on the list, but then we got to figure out how to rank them.
Right. Yeah. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
The
rank
orange is issue. Yeah.
It's not whether they,
and we're being told
pass.
We can't.
Yeah.
That's
right.
What BSC is telling us. They're just not.
They have to say 70.
The rating numbers just are not the same currency.
Because 77 on this written test is not necessarily a 77 on
right.
this one.
Right.
But
so, but you know, what we could do is say, all right, we're going to take two from the old test and one from
right.
the top guy
separate
from the new
list,
test.
Yeah.
But how can we do that? Because we're supposed to certify the top three, and we can't
mm-hmm.
know whether the new list and the old list compare.
Mm-hmm. But my thinking is that you do have to maintain them parallel but on separate lists. Just as we approve an entry-level list and a lateral list, then perhaps we then have two lists, new test takers and an old test takers on them.
And I grant you that.
They're multiple eligibility lists. There may be some very good candidates that only by virtue of taking the test in a prior
I'm asking about the next step, though.
Right.
Let's imagine the best candidate in the world comes up out of the new test. And so we rush to interview them. And they love us. We love them.
They score high on the interview.
They score great. Now we've got that person sitting there, and we've still got five people left on the old list. We have no way of saying, which we are supposed to say under law, whether that, what seems like a great person to us, where that person fits. Because we can only send... The difference between the lateral and the entry list is that we can send three from each.
Right.
We can only send three from these two lists, and we don't know where that person fits in.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm understanding the parameters right, we are unable to use the new candidates until all the old candidates are gone, or they've been investigated and there's a material reason why they should be removed early. And so, in a sense, why would we spend time interviewing folks on the new list when we know we can't send them up until we finish with the old list? So are we now damning, or has PST damned us to not do any interviews for the next 9 months?
Well, I'm not so sure you're right about that.
Yeah, something's wrong.
Well, no, I think you're saying you can only send three, and you can only send the top three, and we can make a judgment that I understand it's apples and oranges, but this guy's way up here in the X percentile, these two, and we'll send three. We're going to send what we consider the top three is the top one from here and the top two there. Now, you know, I don't know if we get shot down for that. I doubt it. But the alternative is we tell everyone that took the old test. We pick a date, March. We're no longer considering anyone. So now, because our hands are tied, you know,
we can't do.
And there's a new test out there, and after March 1st, we're only considering those who passed the new test.
So in other words, you're suggesting we take...
If what you're saying is right, then we have to turn off
Right, but what you're now suggesting is, so let's say there's 10 people on our list right now.
Can I go get it? That helps.
No.
Okay.
8, whatever the number is.
I'm just curious what the expiration date is, mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah. Are we, and if there's an expiration date specifically established by PST's procedure, right? Is it 15 months or something?
Mm-hmm.
Are we allowed to say, we will not consider those folks because we want only new test folks now? We just made a decision.
Yes.
That's what all these other.
The main issue to me is the people that we've already interviewed. So we did interviews in November, so those people are going to be on there till November.
Those
are the people that we need to either grandfather or work through them and clear it out. So
right.
That's why I was curious how many we really have, what the dates are, and how reasonable it is to say, let's move on these. I mean, but the main thing is, even if we move through all those people, then still only have 5 people to take the test, so that's not exactly a huge pool.
When's the next test?
Right, there are many more tests, especially if you tell those 90 people, go take the test, probably some of them will.
And then what I'm saying is, with the 10 that we have, can we tell them to go take the other test so that we can move them onto the new list?
Or do we need to?
I'm not sure if we need to.
I don't think we need to.
Sorry, I guess
because they're already eligible. No, it is so complicated. And my problem is that meeting in November, and I've really spent
I guess, Bruce, we don't, I guess we don't need to until we start creating a new
until we start acknowledging those new applicants, right.
Yeah, right. Then we have a conference. Then we've got two.
Yeah.
And then how do we rank it?
I mean, what this ultimately comes down to is a question of when should we be doing our next orals?
Right.
Maybe we shouldn't do any for 6-8 months. I don't know.
Yes, I'm wondering.
Right. That is the
that's the practical effect.
Right. So there's probably no hurry in our making a decision what to do with these two lists up.
Right. Because then it really comes down to what's our need, you know?
Right.
I mean, if we're going to be able to fill our vacancies with the names that we have, plus we have some more to look at, assuming there might be another vacancy somewhere down the road, you never know. I mean, do we really need to do more interviews? I mean, if we weren't changing the list, the test, then obviously we just keep going like we're going, just keep interviewing, won't keep adding names, but it doesn't seem...
I think our concern is for the people that are queued up, and to let them know and to have an opportunity to... reapply the way they need to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the question more likely in front of us is how much lead time do they need if we have these 90-some people that are queued up and we're changing the rules? You know, are we going to be going back to these people and having them go through the oral board so that they get bumped up? I mean, is that likely?
I mean, we are able to communicate with those 93 people and say, we're giving you a warning that as of April 30th, we're only going to be considering new test scores. If you want to continue to be considered by us, you need to go out and get the new test score.
And that's what PST said, right? They've given all these people notice that the test has changed and that you're going to hear from the agencies that you tested with. They might all do it differently. But so it's not like this is going to be a big surprise. It's just how we deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, the bigger issue is how do we deal with the 6, 8, 10 people that we have currently on our list.
Right.
And, you know, if that's enough people for Larry to and his predecessor to process for the next 10 months.
Is it?
Well, there's no lateral, so no. I mean,
we'll be starting, if one of the two we're currently working on doesn't pass the background, then we'll be starting on the entry. You know, we can't just leave that list sit out there.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the other interesting thing is if we've used up all our laterals because the two you're working on, let's say, don't work out, we can immediately create a lateral list because that then we do have the situation where the lateral list is separate.
Right.
So we can have a lateral list that's filled with new test takers
and
an entry-level list that has the residual of the old test.
Yeah. Now,
they don't ever have to be compared.
We have no laterals.
Right. Nobody's taking the test.
No.
But that leads me to what is another item on the calendar that we can talk about is, do we want to think about changing the examination process to lateral?
Yes.
So.
Are any of the 5 that have already taken the test laterals? The 5 who have taken the new test who have indicated Bainbridge entries?
No.
They're all entry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's the profiles that we get back on the new test format for PST,
it's
quite a bit of information that comes with it.
Yeah.
Is there any component of this you know, you might get 10 or 15 different scores and a personality profile of their integrity and work mm-hmm. style and everything. But does any part of this have also the question set from the prior? That is, oh, this one score is all the same questions that
no.
they took on the prior score.
Totally no. Yeah.
Well,
and it's, I think I already told you that the previous test was 90 minutes and the new one is 3 hours. So it's like a
and they
company.
Tailored these questions to address ethical issues, something mm-hmm. decision making. It just sounds like a completely new
it's
animal
a
altogether.
It's a better test. And
oh,
one
clearly,
of the things,
yeah, yeah, that's
one
what they
of, one of the things that I think we need to understand is the fact that it is a better test. It is an improved test. It is a test that they created. They created it because there was a need for it. I mean, they didn't do it for their own internal purposes. They did it so that they could have a better product they could continue to sell. And so I think it makes sense for us to move to the new test because it's going to do a better job of getting qualified people for us. And so I think we have a responsibility to the people that are in queue to give them a heads up. But I also think we want to take advantage of this better selection tool that's been developed. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage us to figure out the best way to do this in a proactive and deliberate manner.
Well, let me try to offer a wrap-up proposal. If I'm understanding this correctly, we are saying, as to the 6, 8, 10 people that are on our list, Larry needs to process for them as necessary. And that means we wait. And until we get down to 3 or 4 of them only, or
right.
we really doesn't make a sense to be adding people to the entry level list. Because again, we can't mix them up.
Mm-hmm.
However, if 3 test dates from now we end up having 10 lateral candidates, subject to our discussion about that, if we have lateral candidates who took the new test who want to come with us, we can boom ahead and interview and queue up more laterals so that he has the choice of going lateral or entry rather than just dealing with the entry.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really two different universes.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the thing to do is for you to talk some more with your cohorts
yeah.
about this these conundrums.
Yeah.
Or maybe talk to Walter.
Well, and then I thought, you know, if somebody is doing a rule change, like, why not see what their language is? Maybe use it. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have a vacancy in that area, so why not, you know, just talk to somebody else if they've already done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because also so just play this out. So say you go through all the laterals and you move on to the entries, you go through all of them, so vacancy. You still have people who have taken the old test that we could interview if we needed to,
mm-hmm.
up to, you know, whenever we decide that cutoff is, so
yeah.
assuming it happens before the cutoff. So I feel like there are options, but we don't need to decide today. So I will come back to the next meeting and follow up with maybe a proposal or some options for you to consider.
Okay.
And then
you'll have the actual list of the dates
yes.
where they'll be moving on. So.
I will do that. I will look at that. And the other thing that I had on the calendar for today was the timing and the process for local validation. So how about if we talk about that next week too, or next month? Because I brought these are the materials from that meeting also on this topic.
That we should. Isn't that going to happen?
We have to ask for it.
Okay. I thought we had.
Not yet because we haven't we haven't talked about it yet. So this is just reading material for later.
Oh, truly.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we're nibbling around this thing, and I think we're getting closer to understanding it, but I don't think we've gotten
no.
the necessary yet. Make
just one quick follow-up. I know that the prior detective had gone to a specialty school for specific to background investigation. So the new detective that has just come on board, is he or she going to need to go to a specialty school to be able to perform background investigations on these candidates?
He's already been.
Okay.
Because he was a prior detective.
Okay. Good. So he's already set.
That's Scott Weiss.
So, Kate, with regard to the six-part scoring that they use, you know, I'm still not sure in my mind, once we're using the new results, what we do with all that stuff. I mean, up to now, we've just looked for that magic 70%.
Yeah.
And now we've got...
We still have a total
score.
Still
has that, yes,
right.
But we've
right
got
here, right?
I don't think we do anything to...
It's right there.
Right. But I think the chief, I think that will be information to the chief when he's reviewing the...
Oh, so you don't think that we are going to be implementing any additional... I mean, this kind of goes to the hiring preferences question.
Yeah. You know? I'm just trying to wonder if maybe the oral board members would find that helpful, but...
I mean, this is a raw score. They got a raw score on the written test, and it's broken down into components, but at the end, they've got to hit 70 here or there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They don't satisfy our
number at the top.
Right.
Right, yeah. Right.
But it would be possible to not pass some of the other subcomponents.
I guess that's right. Yeah.
And still get a 70% at
mm-hmm.
the top composite number,
right.
But maybe only score 58, which is 490 on the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And do we want candidates that score 70% in all the spectrum? Or just on the,
you know, or we may decide, given the community we are, we really need someone who's scores high on integrity, socialization. I don't know what that means, but you know, there may be that sort of gets the hiring preferences question.
So my thinking is, just because it's the first time I've seen it,
mm-hmm.
I kind of like to look at something like this in parallel with the position profile,
yeah.
And see how the position profile and questions are going to be generated, and how we might be able to parlay that information out of here to adjust our interview panel. Well, I think those kind of go all in lockstep as a subcommittee work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, everything is sort of related. Okay, well, this is our first go around, but we'll revisit. So I guess we need to take these two discussions, all three of these discussions, and sort of cycle them back in.
Yep.
I don't know if it's not the next meeting or the meeting thereafter. I don't know.
I think the next one, because we should have more, we'll have an update on where we are with the people that we have that have already been certified to the chief.
Okay.
In fact, I can probably let you next week.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to the two that you're doing right now, you're that close to being ready to be done. Okay. Okay. Any more questions on this topic, or are we ready to...
Didn't we decide to validate? Is that something we still need to bring up again, discuss, make a motion? And
Well, PST offers this service, which is, as I understand it, is a statistical process which helps you justify the validity of your test, and it also has legal advantages as well.
Mm-hmm.
They send a consultant out who does some magic stuff, and I don't even understand what it is. But
yeah, the we have to provide subject matter experts 20% of the number of your entry level positions. It needs to be represented, you know, a good representative of the gender and ethnic and makeup. And then the company works with the agency to provide the tools to conduct the study. And then an assessment will be prepared for each agency. That's very vague. I don't know how to.
But is the idea that they're going to validate quality of the new test, and the only way they're going to be able to do that?
No.
Come and, no.
No. What this is that it says that the questions that are asked are appropriate for our local needs, and so this is some type of validation process, and I don't believe they charge for it, but they come and they make sure that they're asking questions that are appropriate for our culture, our area. I don't know all the nuances, but it's an internal validation, and I think it's in their interest to do, because it probably means that we're going to continue to use them.
And they can fine tune their
testing. Yes, and they use. Bruce, you and I talked to John about this.
Mm-hmm.
They use local representation, and then it's weighted appropriately. And so
you might be confusing two things, because one of the things I asked for, John was here, he asked, I want you to have some of your people call me so we can determine whether there's any questions that need to be tailored to the culture of Bainbridge.
Right.
That wasn't validation. That was merely sort of cultural referencing test to us. Validation is a more statistical process, I guess, where they take our job descriptions and they try to show that the test corresponds so that no one can later claim that by using this test we are contradicting our own standards.
Right.
So then the validation process, we'd want it to follow on our
job description.
Once we finish this work, and say, this is what we're looking for. You come and do a validation of your test in comparison with what our profile is, right? What we're looking for. So maybe it'd be too early. Asking to come do a validation now would be too soon. I think so
also, because in reading this, there's a lot of involvement required from members of the department, and we might be better served to wait until the new chief is in place and can work with us on that. You too, though.
Oh, yeah.
But it just says, you know, there are a number of challenges. The incumbent sample must be motivated to perform at their peak level on the exam. The agency must encourage first-line supervisors. They have to provide a performance evaluation for each person that participates. So there's a little more to it than I had initially realized.
So not having read all this, they essentially want two or three of our officers to go and take the test that we're going to give to our entry and lateral candidates.
Yeah, it says at least.
To see how they might want that.
Incumbent, so employees.
Right, so we're going to take two or three of our patrol officers and go give them the same test that we're going to get from our new applicants.
It says here at least 40. I don't know if that's...
So this would be a validation for Kitsap more than just Bainbridge.
I don't know.
Because we don't have 40.
Right. 40 or greater incumbents should be selected randomly. And women and racial minorities should be overrepresented. I'm just reading the back page.
Maybe we can get some clarification on that.
On the timing.
Well, on the timing and exactly what's involved.
Yes.
Because I remember when it was addressed during the meeting that it was like, sure, we want to
do that.
Why
wouldn't you? Yeah, exactly.
Well, and if you're asking existing officers to take the test again, that...
Oh, don't you want to take the bar again just for fun?
Not if I'm going to lose my job. I mean, you know... that's not going to be a popular event.
Well, both will only be used for the purpose of this test.
Yeah, right. Instead of
creating a day of vacation. Do you know if the other surrounding departments are doing this? Is Paul so part of this?
I haven't heard yet, but I will ask. I know. I don't think Paulville uses PSD, but Bremerton does.
Okay.
Change is hard.
What's next?
Ordinance.
Proposed ordinance. This is the ordinance that was prepared by Will before he left with input from Steve Giulio to further substantiate.
It looked fine to me. It looked like it was covered, gave us the color of authority for what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, we're relying on the experts, that be Will and Giulio, that this is the correct language necessary to enable a local commission to act with its full discretion within the realm of substantial compliance with the law.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I presume when this gets presented to the city, it's just going to be presented by what? By Doug? He doesn't have a lawyer even.
Right. Mm-hmm. So. I think, so I just was reminded that in the last meeting, Will was asked whether he thought this was necessary, and he said no. But he said, I'll bring it to you anyway. So my question was really, would you all like to see this happen? And if so, then we'll get it processed.
I think it makes things more clear. And, you know, that's the challenge of the law is you want to make things more clear, but anybody that has been alive for any period of time knows that they're... You can't address every situation, no matter how verbose the law. But it seemed like that if this was on the books, that we would be more clear what we had the authority to do, and I'm all for that, so.
And just from previously, when they enacted the new ordinance, that they did just that, they did it for clarification, that the Supreme Court worked in the previous code that they added. We all came aboard, so I think it was beneficial, and now we're just further clarifying that, and
right.
The rule changes that we make and our the ability that we have to conduct our business is just further recognized by the city. And I think having read your year-end summary, Bruce, it's fantastic, and I think you can deliver that to city council 2 weeks, a couple Wednesdays. Perhaps just you could say prior to Will leaving, he drafted potential code enhancements and they could take it from there.
Yeah. I guess my problem with this whole thing is that obviously more clear is better. I mean, but I'm not convinced that this language clarifies much. This reads like language that has been vetted by a lawyer based on some authority that says this language has been approved in some prior legal context. If it's a technical requirement based on existing authority, somebody like a lawyer knows this stuff should be there to explain, answer questions to the council. Mm-hmm. This has not been put on any agenda at all?
Not yet.
And Will felt it was not necessary because he thought that we already had that authority simply based on the case law, which says that you can act in any way you choose so long as you're substantially complying with the statute.
Right.
That Julio felt that you wanted to beef that up with some internal self-serving language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone says to me, why are you presenting this?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, well, our lawyer sort of asked me to, but he doesn't really want to anyway, and he doesn't work for you anymore anyway, by the way. I mean, the whole thing is just not a great presentation.
Right. I agree with that. I think, you know, I guess as a commission, we could recommend changes to the code, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or to by ordinance. But I don't know that, you know, we've got our rules to do. If the city council decides, any member of the city council, I guess, legislative branch, you know, decides it wants to amend the code and create some tweaks to the by ordinance like this, they can do that. Or the city manager, who the city attorney's working for, can decide it'd be better for the commission to have this kind of language. Mm-hmm. We should leave it to them.
That's where I'm going.
So let a new attorney who comes in
exactly.
make some kind of recommendation to
it's not so clearly,
city manager.
It's not so clearly obvious that this to me, and Linda may disagree, but I'm not so convinced that this clearly it helps us necessarily. If some technical attorney says it does, then I'll say great. But I would suggest that we wait till you guys have a new city attorney.
Yeah.
And he can review this, and he can talk to DiGiulio and decide
exactly.
whether this makes sense or not.
Right.
And then it's not us presenting it.
Yep.
I
agree with that. I also, I'm looking at, I don't know whether Steve DiGiulio is just kind of catering to us a little bit. You know, what are the things that he chose to include in here, you know, provision. He knew we were concerned about temporary
I saw
provisional,
that, yeah.
you know. So I also am reading in the term of probationary period, and a red flag goes off. Isn't that something that, I'm not saying we couldn't do it, but I'm just saying do a rule-by-rule, address that subject. Perhaps we could, but perhaps it would be in conflict with the guilds.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
bargainable. Look, again, we just did a lot with our rules and improved them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got one lawyer telling us it's just not even necessary. I would like to wait till the next lawyer who is actually being hired to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay, Linda, with that?
Oh, yes.
All right. Moving on to the next item, the year-end report.
Yes. I've copied. Anybody need a copy?
I've got it.
Okay. Linda, would you like one?
Sure.
Okay.
I have some comments.
I'm welcoming comments.
Okay. Because it's a little bit fresh, and I'm sure maybe I'm just getting it.
Yeah.
Jumping ahead.
Let me make a little preamble. I wrote this in a way, you know, Kay provided me some raw data, and I wrote this thing with a desire that it's going to be sent to them in writing, and
mm-hmm.
it's going to go into some official records, and I wanted to actually reflect what we have done. If But I also wanted to have the, I also wanted it to reflect the context, you know, the transition from last year and the setting in which we have worked. And I also want, and I also thought, and I don't know if I, I don't know if I was going to read it or paraphrase it, but I'm presuming that there's a presentation as well. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of serving multiple purposes, okay? So having said that, no pride of officeship, tear it apart, do whatever you want.
I'm all I say I have comments on it. There's not a word of criticism or editorial comment or anything like that. I think it's terrific. I think I think it's great what you've done, you know, for example, in terms of recognizing Kate's work, which I applaud as well. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all done in terms of, you know, the number of we've all put in some overtime this year in doing this. And so we all deserve a little pat on the back for that. Maybe this goes overboard patting us ourselves on the back a little bit, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's great what you've said about the citizen volunteers and getting their names in there and everything. And I just want to say to you, Bruce, that there's no, you're not allowed to, I guess, pat yourself on the back so much. And I wanted to, my main purpose in making comment now is to say all these wonderful things that you said about Kate, us, others in the community, I think applies probably two or three times over to your own leadership, your own leadership, mm-hmm. and driving us forward, you know, when we're all ready to start going out. Why don't we scale back these meetings, which is what I continue to do. But I think, you know, when you read through this, and, you know, we did do, I mean, we tackled an awful lot, and I think most of the credit goes to you for driving us forward. A different leader would have taken a different, if it had been me, we would have been moved much slower. I would say that.
I appreciate you saying that, and I think, you know, we act as a group, and, you know, each person does their best, and I you know, that's very nice of you to say, and there's no way I'm going to say that in this memo if I'm presenting it.
There's no way you really can.
And it's not necessary, right?
So that's what was missing from here. But
I appreciate that. I called out Kate because I'm sick of hearing people criticize city employees unilaterally without being fair. And I called out our citizen volunteers because they didn't sign up for anything. They can't. They
right.
But the rest of it is us as a whole. This is the report of the committee, not any one of us. And so that's the approach I took. Now, I'm a little concerned that it's too long. If I'm literally, I don't know if I should read it.
I don't like to
read things.
If I would keep it the way it is, but might highlight
in the presentation.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
Hit the highest point.
And I would, you know, the prior commission got really beat up, and I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know all that stuff. But it would be nice, either in the written material or your presentation, to thank them for their service.
Oh, yeah. I didn't do that. That's true.
You didn't do that, and it must have been just hell. I mean, for them to go to the meetings and doing the best they can and get beat up, and I think it was probably very difficult for him as well. And so I don't know how to honor that public effort. But that was the only thing that popped into my head. I thought that you had a nice overview. And, you know, one of the things when you're in public service, you're always educating. People don't know civil service stuff, and so I think it's always a kindness to say, this is what we do.
Yeah.
Because somebody is always going to be hearing that for the first time and say, hey, Marge, what does that civil service? And so you're not embarrassing anybody by assuming they're going to know something they don't know. And we met 19 times.
So, you know, let me look into sort of a little bit of comment, a thank you comment for the prior commission. Mm-hmm. And what I'd like to do is get your discretion to play with this a little bit more, because I'd like to try to skinny it down a little bit. And then if anybody has any suggestions about what our presentation are, are we on the agenda already?
Yeah. Okay. If you're, I know you've already asked me this, but I really don't think it's too long, because you're not going to read it.
Right.
And
no, as a written document, I don't think it's too long.
Okay, good. So
as a verbal presentation, it takes about 10 minutes. That's kind of a long.
I think if you have 10 or 15 minutes on the agenda, But what I was envisioning, tell me if you don't agree, this would go in the packet.
Yes.
Right.
So that it gets published on the Friday before the public and everybody can read it ahead of time, the council members read it ahead of time. And then you speak to it, you know, refer to it, and they already know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
You're a good public speaker.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have total and complete trust
totally
in
comfortable doing that.
In however you...
You remember not, they're talking about the
believe me,
I'm
really tired of talking about labor.
But you know, it's going to depend what's going on at that particular point in time and what council is thinking about. I mean, if there's something else that they need to focus on, you know, you might very well get up and say, thank you for the opportunity. You have the printed material. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. It may
you
be
know?
Just, do you have any questions?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
but I trust you absolutely.
Yeah,
with
you know, certainly it will be interactive. They talk, ask the questions.
Yeah. Okay. So what I'm hearing is everybody's happy with this product,
mm-hmm.
by and large. When does it get published?
The Friday before.
It's next Friday.
No, yes. Sorry, I haven't put the new calendar up
okay,
yet.
So between now and next Friday, if anybody has further thoughts, get them to us because Friday is when we put it to bed. So,
mm-hmm.
And at the meeting itself, I'm sure we'll have a point on the agenda.
Yes, I'll let you know.
So we don't have to sit there the whole time if you don't want to.
I probably can tell you tomorrow. I think it's our draft project.
And, you know, I was thinking that, just to not embarrass anybody, I was thinking to, at the very beginning, when I tell the commission who we are, if you're there, stand up just for a second and wave,
mm-hmm.
just to get a little personal connection with the council members. But I don't think anybody except me has to be there if you don't want to be. It's not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Great.
Good job.
I'll change the date because it's going to be published before the 23rd. So.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Let me do this. Let me play with it this weekend,
yeah.
and I'll give you something final
sure.
about this weekend.
Okay.
I want to get it on two pages because that's sort of my rule of thumb on anything having public documents.
Yeah.
And if I skinny the font down a little bit, I can get it on two pages.
I know, the header takes a lot of room. We can squeeze that up.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the calendar, which is so many things we talked about today relate to other things we talked about, which all relate to the calendar. So it's kind of a lot of moving targets.
One page, right.
For now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's back. Okay. Yeah. So, I guess the first thing we just did is we decided that the three bullet points for today's meeting have to be kicked into next meeting to continue that conversation.
Yes.
Then going down the list, okay, for the next meeting we talk about review the disqualifier, I guess that's with regard to the marijuana legalization issue.
Right.
Okay, and that's clearly a relevant topic that we should address sooner rather than later,
mm-hmm.
I agree. The question of lateral requirement of exams for lateral applicants, what's going to be the nuts and bolts behind that? What's going to inform that decision? We know practices in other places? And
I have some, and I can certainly pull together a brief overview for you from a number of agencies, other examples.
Yeah, because my thought on that one, and chime in if you guys want to, my thought on that one is I like them having another test, unless it's a barrier to people wanting to sign up for us. So to me, a lot of that's driven by what the competition are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. I want to know what the standards are for us to have that kind of conversation.
Okay.
So that's with regard to that.
Okay.
My other thought on that is asking for input from the new chief eventually on whether he or she wants to have an additional testing process in place for new hires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a very valid.
And the new chief or the existing chief could say, you know what, if someone is going to be deterred from entering our community because they don't want to take one more test, that's not the kind of person we want. We want people who are anxious and they're willing to go the extra mile.
But I think a different question that should be asked is not necessarily should they or should they not take a test, but should they take the same test as the entry level applicants, or do we want them to be tested on differently?
Mm-hmm. And PST, though, does not offer a different test. So we'd have to do that, get that from some other source.
Right.
Okay. My other thought is that with the new testing format, it would be interesting that it may take a year to get this data in, mm-hmm. for them to be able to present to us at the end of the year after hundreds of candidates have taken this test. They should be able to say, this is how a lateral mm-hmm. candidate scores on it by average, and this is how an entry candidate scores on it by average. Not just for us, but for their whole mm-hmm. test bank. Mm-hmm. They should be able to produce some kind of scorable difference between a lateral and an entry candidate.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, should we postpone that to maybe April or something? We may have achieved by then, right?
Is that likely by April?
I don't know. I mean, I think
it could happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it could.
Well, I was about to suggest that we postpone the consideration of hiring preference factors.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we can do that without an attorney.
True.
It's all about what we're allowed to take advantage of, yeah. not so much what we want to take advantage of.
And so is that something that, is that sort of a discussion that starts here and then ask the city attorney for input and advice based on that discussion? Is that what you're thinking?
I guess I would start with the city attorney and say,
okay, what can we do?
You know, what's the parameters? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to waste time on it. If he says, you know, you can't ask any of those, any questions.
Mm-hmm. Other than veterans' preference, you can't do anything. Mm-hmm. If that's the ironclad rule, then stop.
So move that to March, April?
What's the city attorney process? Are they advertising?
The applications are being reviewed. I think the interviews are going to start soon.
Oh, you've got more than one app.
Oh, ye of little faith. There are lots of people that want to be the city attorney in Cambridge Island.
Yeah, really? Are you applying for the job? I mean, you're qualified.
No.
I'm not. You're probably not, Linda.
It's more than few, let's put it that way. Why don't we say April anyway? We can bump it if we need to, right?
Less than five.
Yeah, more than five.
Well, good for us. Good. Mm. It'll be hard to replace Will for this one.
It's very impressive, just like I said. Well, in select police officer oral boards.
I mean, I just put that on there
yeah.
because,
to pay attention.
All of this
again, we're not sure when we're going to be doing
no.
that.
No, so I can take all of that off and keep it in the for when I schedule it. That's April, May, and March, April, and May. All of that can be, I'll just take it off.
Now, there is another approach to that, is that it's kind of nice to have the time to look at those things again. When we're not under the gun.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. The questions.
Yeah. You know, the questions and the scoring.
Right.
Just a little side bird walk, as people say. When I came to the oral boards last time, one of the things that I sort of jumped in and said, because I thought it needed to be said, is I said, you guys all understand that 70% is our passing support.
Right.
So if on average, out of the 9 questions, you give somebody less than a 6.5, I can't remember what the right statistical
yeah.
number. You're basically saying, no, they will not be allowed to move forward in this process, which basically means it's a pass, fail, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, fail, pass, 7, 8, 9. Now, maybe that's fine, but it makes you wonder, what does a 9-point rubric have mean
yeah.
when there's 6 numbers that we're not
right.
using, okay?
Right.
And I'm not an expert on this testing strategies and statistical elements, but I feel like we haven't really understood what we're doing.
That's a complicated area.
So my thought is there's a lot of bullet items here and a lot to do with the position profile
mm-hmm.
and the validation stuff. I think I can work with Kate, and I think we need a MS project flow chart that says, okay, we got to complete this,
mm-hmm.
and then we branch, and we got to do these
yeah.
6 things, and then we can do these other things. But I think
mm-hmm.
that will answer the order that we need to accomplish these things
yeah.
after we develop that flow chart of the order and the decision points that will be made as we're able
right.
to get information out of this process.
Like, really, all roads lead back to the job description.
Yeah.
So if there is a way that is my primary area of focus for the next chunk of time, then I think that will...
Well, because we did 3 rounds of interviews
mm-hmm.
last year, we have a little... And because Larry's ready to go to the entry-level list,
mm-hmm.
we've got a backlog. We have time to
yeah.
to clean up, to go back to that mission.
Yeah.
So I think that's great.
Okay.
So this is really, at this point, very rough.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be retooled, and Rob and
right.
Kate are going to really work on that.
I'd say that the police officer hiring column is rough after March. I mean, like I said, they just
yeah.
bumped that in there. And then the middle column, this was what I was talking about earlier, where I see the this process going. He said this flow chart will help, but I think I'll come back to you with a draft job description, and then we'll hear from the Guild if they have any input, and then we'll talk about, like you said, Linda, maybe a subcommittee for the position profile. Then you'll have the job description to be able to do the position profile, and from there we do the comp. What was the thing that we went over with Rich? Not the competencies, but something like that that will tie into the questions.
The core competencies.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that all sounds good. So.
Okay.
Yeah, developing a new scoring criteria based on those core competencies.
Right.
Looking at the on-deck list on page 2.
Mm-hmm.
I feel open to, you know, this is real, the prioritization of these things, I think, is really a matter for Rob and Kate to mm-hmm. decide in the coming year. I mean, I'll just state my personal preference is I really think it'd be nice to get the website improved
yeah.
sooner rather than later.
So
I don't know if we've got the technical expertise to do that, or we have to
yeah.
hire a consultant, and who's going to pay for that, and that's a whole other step.
Right. So I'll just tell you quickly about the website. That is identified as a citywide priority. Where it is on the list, I can't tell you at this point in time, but our IT manager and the city manager have had discussions about this, and I know the council also feels the same way. Staff is desperate for a new website. So there are probably things that we can do to improve the content that we have currently, or rearrange it, or, you know, if you have things that you want to add on there, more features, but the website itself is out of our jurisdiction.
We are part of the bigger picture.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe that's not something that's really doable. I don't know.
Content, I mean, I think if there are things you want to do to help on the recruitment side, we can talk about that.
Well, that's my other thought, is that somewhere on the on deck or related to the website development is another forum that we as a commission develop, and that can be through a LinkedIn page or a Facebook page or Twitter page,
mm-hmm.
some kind of social media outreach that the citizenry can provide us with input. They may not need to come to this meeting, but there's an open forum there that share ideas or information with us.
Mm-hmm.
We can publicize job announcements there and have a following from a social media standpoint
mm-hmm.
that people can understand the information that we're putting out and not always have to link to that, at this point, very poorly designed or
static,
yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah, static website.
It'd be interesting, on the topic of recruitment in general, I actually just, I don't know if you remember that John Walters at that meeting gave us some links that were resources, and one
mm-hmm.
of them was the International Association of Chiefs of Police. They have a law enforcement recruitment toolkit,
mm-hmm.
162 pages or something. So I just printed that off today. But I would like to see something like where we work with some members of the department as a joint venture mm-hmm. on that topic to brainstorm some ideas. And because one of the main things I read just briefly, and that is that it's crucial to have your employees as part of the recruitment efforts. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, word of mouth is going to be
mm-hmm.
sure. And again, all of that turns to the new chief.
Right.
Presumably that person's going to have their own plans, their own desires as to how to move things forward.
Yeah.
We want help done.
Mm-hmm. But if you are anticipating maybe an all-hands meeting anytime soon, you know, I think that would be an interesting topic to, if anybody
mm-hmm.
wanted to go to say, these are the things we're thinking about doing, so we want to collaborate with you, just in front of, you know, face-to-face, that it
mm-hmm.
may generate more interest.
One other comment on in regard to the new police chief. The city just released this, the Strategic Government Resources Commission is asking for citizenry input.
Mm-hmm.
Do we as a commission, as a group, want to have any input for that process? Do we want to have any statement that we say, you know, these are the things we would like to see? The interactivity of Larry coming to all our meetings is very important to us.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that we want to have input and provide to SRG, that we as a commission would like to see these as potential candidates, or is that just something we do individually as citizens of the island versus as a commission? It's a the meeting's next week. I won't be able to, mm-hmm. I've got plans that night, but there's a community meeting that they're hosting that all the citizens can share ideas where you can write an email.
Yeah.
You can send an email to the city with that.
I think that it would make sense if any of us, I don't know if we as a group would, I'd really have to think about that. And so I don't know if a formal recommendation from us as a group, if we have enough time to do that.
I kind of feel like our mandate, our charges, is not large enough in the universe for us to have an official position about the qualities of a good chief. I mean, as citizens, I'm sure we all have our opinions, and that's great. But our role in the process is, you know, pretty focused. And I mean, clearly we want a chief that can understand civil service requirements and honors them, and you know, works with us in developing the hiring procedures and blah blah blah. But I'm not sure that's neat saying. I don't
know. Anybody be able to attend that meeting? Because I think there could be information relayed in that meeting about the general process, their general feelings about the police department and what they want to see the police department become. From a leadership standpoint, they're going to be sharing that, but we may be able to gain information from that open forum, mm-hmm. just as we would attend Larry's roundtable meetings or...
What time
ICP's.
Is it? And where is it?
6 o'clock.
It's here at City Call, January 15th, 6 to 8 p.m.
Yeah, so you might get information from members of the audience, I hear
right.
you're saying.
That we could, that it's just a
Kate,
form.
Can you send us all an email with
yeah.
that time?
Mm-hmm.
Take time.
Yep.
What's the entity again that's meeting?
Strategic Government Resources.
Yes.
It's the, you know, essentially the recruiting.
It's
yeah,
it's the
headhunter.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Headhunter company.
Okay.
That's out of Texas.
Mm-hmm. They're the same firm that was hired by the council to find the city manager. So they're familiar with.
I thought they were going to use some sort of governmental.
Strategic?
I thought they were using some nonprofit.
That was for the management study. So that's that LEMAP that Larry was talking about earlier. That's the WASPIC group, Washington Association.
Yeah, right.
So it's good they have an understanding of the island and environment to start
mm-hmm.
with. I think that's helpful.
Okay. So she's going to send out an email. I might be able to come to that meeting. I'm not sure at this point, but we'll see.
One thing I just added to this on-deck list while we're talking is the promotional process.
Yeah.
Just so
yeah.
you know.
Yep, good.
And then my only question is collective bargaining ideas. I'm not sure that still needs to be on there.
I don't
remember what that was.
I don't know what that means now.
Me either.
Yeah.
I'll
take
that.
Yeah,
I have some ideas about collective bargaining.
Okay. Anything else about the agenda or the calendar? Is everybody happy with the format that we did before, where we keep things
mm-hmm.
rolling forward,
okay.
keep old things on? It's a good record managed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it keeps things from falling between the cracks.
It's
right.
very helpful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. If anybody has any other comments on other topics, and if not, we have scheduled an executive session to discuss the qualifications of an applicant. We'll be in executive session. 10 minutes. We will not be taking any action after we come out, except to adjourn the meeting. And other than that, we are done with the public business today, unless people have further comments.
Thank you, Bruce, for doing such a great job as
Thank
chair.
Bruce.
We'll miss
yeah.
you.
It was my pleasure, and it was fun to be chair, and but it'll be equally pleasant to have someone else do it.
Sit over there, and he has to sit there.
Rob will be great. So.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Going into executive session. North?
But I have to do the bank, and I have to show.
No. Let me ride with Billy. I love going to your bank.
True.
I know you.
We're back on.
We're back on.
Okay. We just came out of executive session, and we are taking no further action, but we are ready to adjourn. So this meeting is adjourned.
Okay.